super excited today because I get to introduce a new friend of mine who is going to be ministering the word today. So back in the spring of this year, I went to a prophetic conference, and Pastor Chris was actually at that prophetic conference doing a breakout session. And I was sitting, actually sat in that session by accident because I don't read maps well. And my husband knows this to be true. So I was like, yeah, I think of it. And then I was like, this session sounds great. Didn't know what I signed up for. But Pastor Chris was sharing there. And I will tell you, I was immediately touched by his authenticity. And one thing I will say about Rohi is we are all about realness, right? We like the realness. And it's easy to spot the facade. And there was just a realness about him that I appreciated. And not only was there a realness, there was a fire, there was a passion, and there was a love for God and a genuine love for God's people. And it just resonated with me. And so after I saw him spoke, I was like, I want to learn a little bit more about this guy, and I'd love to have him come speak at our church. So him and his wife are pastors at a church called Thrive in Lathrop, California. So we were lucky that he was able to come down, drive down this morning. His wife actually just became the children's pastor, so she couldn't be here today because today's her first official day. We wouldn't want her to miss that to be here. But we are excited to have Pastor Chris here. He is a dynamic speaker. Do not be blown away by the fact that he is young, because God uses young people. He has an amazing testimony. Hopefully he'll share a little bit about it. But he's just a joy. So I want you, Rohi Church, to help me welcome my new friend, Pastor Chris Scoes, as he comes to bring the word today.
All right. Well, good morning, family. I already feel like I'm home, man. This is awesome. I know some of you guys, when she said he's from Lathrop, y'all were like, where is that? You pulled out your phones, you Googled it on Google Maps. It's okay, it's cool. So it's a real place, first off. It's a real place. Lathrop is a little town about 20 minutes south of Stockton, okay? And we have three freeway exits and seven stoplights, all right? And but what I tell people about Lathrop is really cool is the Northern California In-N-Out warehouse is in Lathrop. So you're welcome. You can thank my city for the most blessed food, that and Chick-fil-A. Let's just be honest. Come on now. And we're getting an In-N-Out in Lathrop. So we like had a whole worship service for that joint. I'm just going to be honest. We did, man. It was, are you okay to have fun and laugh? And because Pastor Jen set the tone. I thought I was going to come in and be serious, and she was making all laugh. And I was like, oh, we're going to laugh. It's going to be good. Man. So yes, Lathrop's a real place. And I'm super excited to be here with you guys. Love to be able to just meet different people in the body, family in the body that love God. And there's a saying we have at our church, we keep it real at Thrive. And I can totally attest to that, that realness can find realness. And so thank you for that amazing intro. I'm going to take you everywhere with me, Pastor Jennifer, when I go speak to intro me. And I know I look like I'm 15, but I'm 26. There's so many people that tell me that, man, you don't even look like an adult yet. And I'm like, I know, it's okay. You should see my wife. My wife, she's 25, and she's this tall and this wide. She weighs 85 pounds. And we got married when we were 21 years old. This isn't even part of the message. I'm just going to tell you a little bit. We got married at, I was 21, she was 20, and then we had our son. We have a little guy. His name's Zadok. So I just became a dad 2.5 years ago. But, yeah, he's the man. We call Zadok our Telemundo baby, because we say he wasn't cute enough to make it on the English commercials, but maybe on the Spanish ones for sure. I'm never going to get invited back. It's okay. but we would go around like the mall or go shopping, and people would legitimately think that we were like a teenage couple that had a child, and they would like just stare at us, and they're like, why does that little girl have a baby and this kid? But yes, we're adults, we're good. We've been pastors for a while now. I've been a pastor since I was 18, and so for the last 8 years I've been a pastor. I've been traveling across the U.S. since I was 15. I've been to 32 different states. never out of the country, but 32 different states, and I'm just excited that God would use this kid that grew up in L.A., but now in Lathrop, California, to do whatever he wants him to do. And I just believe that today and this morning, God brought me to San Jose, to Rolling Hills Church, Rohi Church, or Rohi, how do you say it? Rohi, okay, I want to get it right. Rohi Church for a reason. I don't believe it was an accident, although the breakout was apparently an accident. I believe that God didn't do it on accident, and I'm excited to share with whatever God has this morning. And first off, before I just jump into it, before I move on to whatever I believe Jesus is going to say, can we just give the biggest, hugest round of applause for Pastor Shayna, the lead pastor here at Rohi Church? We love you. Thank you. Can I tell you, it is so difficult to be a lead pastor. I'm not even one yet, and I know how difficult the job is, and so we honor you, and there is something that honor does. Honor can take you places your gifting can never will. I'm going to tell you that right now. Honor can put you in positions that you never thought your actual human talent or giftings can ever can, and so we honor you. We honor you in this place, and I have known for the last few years of my life walking with Jesus, haven't walked with him forever, but for the last about 12, 13 years, that an individual lead pastor who lets a young person go behind their pulpit is an incredible honor. So I do not take it lightly. I do take this serious, and I appreciate you, and I'm excited because I believe hopefully this is for many years to come, and we have family now in San Jose, and next time we'll bring my wife and my little guy, and we just honor you in this house, and definitely have to set the tone with that. All right? Sound good? All right. Okay, so do me a favor. Can you throw up my slides on the screen? That would be great. And if you're taking notes, the title of today's message is called Nothing Was the Same. Turn to your neighbor and say, Nothing Was the Same. Nothing was the same. And I don't know about you, but I believe that Jesus, when he shows up in our lives, when he does something real in our lives, nothing is the same. I am all about God moving in such a real way, and not just at a conference or not just at a camp, but in our everyday lives and in an everyday Sunday morning, that when you come through the doors of a church service or when you come into an experience where God's presence is in the room, that when you leave the place, you're not the same that you came in. Can anybody testify to that? Has anybody ever been in an environment like that? See, Pastor Shayna said I could come preaching, so I'm going to come preaching, and I'm going to need you to preach. I'm going to need you to say something back. I'm like one of those holla back preachers. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're going to have to say something. Listen, I'm Mexican. I talk really fast, and I talk really loud. Jesus gives me anointing and adrenaline. We call it a AA battery, okay? And we're just going to go for it. And I believe with all my heart that in this house, God wants to set up a culture and an environment where people walk through those doors every Sunday morning, and they might have came in a drug addict. They might have came in their mess and their shame. They might have came in with a broken marriage. They might have came in with some issues from their past. They might have came in with a lot of baggage and hurt. But can I tell you, when they step into this environment, that God would do something incredible, that miracles would become normal, that Jesus would be so real in this place, that maybe Rohi Church would have a reputation of not of a church that's dead, but a church that's alive. And I believe as a house, as a people, God would do it in this room. Come on. Because Jesus is not a philosophy or an idea or a religious concept. If you're a young person, man, I want you to catch this, especially. There is a thing in society, especially, come on, this is the Bay Area. There is a cultural pressure that will tell you that religiosity and Jesus and the concept of Christianity is a waste of time. But can I tell you, there is nothing better to waste your life on than this man named Jesus. And there is nothing better to sell yourself out to than this man named Jesus. There is nothing that will satisfy are you on the inside than this man named Jesus? And I believe there is a people out there who are looking for the hole in their heart that only God can fill. That's the stuff I want to talk about today. I don't want to talk about a cute Bible story. I want to talk about a God that shows up and shows off. I want to talk about a Jesus that when you and I connect with him in a real way, that people get drawn to him and that God shows up in a powerful way. I feel I was praying this week, Pastor Shane. I sometimes pray. And man, I feel like this house, this, and not because it's summer season, but I do. I feel like there's something next happening right now. I even felt like the Lord saying the last 5 years was preparing you really for the next 5 years. And I feel like there has been a foundation and a really an establishment of what we're going to do and what we're not going to do in this house and what's allowed and what's not allowed. And I feel like today my job was to kind of kick the ball a little forward. My job today is to provoke something in you and in this house that maybe you haven't felt or experienced or seen in a little while. And that's okay. I think that's why God brings people to come and speak and to provoke. There's it's the law of energy, right? That the only way movement is caused is that another force from the outside has to cause the movement to move forward. And so I just believe I'm here on assignment to just be part of the process of what God's already doing, okay? And that's why I wanted to preface the conversation of that's what I believe Jesus wants to do. That when he shows up and he moves and he speaks and he's real and he's powerful, right? We sang it this morning when you walk into the room. Like, do we actually believe it? And can we go after this Jesus? Can we know God in this way? And I think we do, but can this become the normality of our Christian walk? Can we get past conference and camp hype and move to lifestyle? And so what I have learned in my young walk with Jesus is that the people of God often dictate the atmosphere of God. That's intense. Because what that tells me is that depending on how the people of God in the room respond to what God is doing in the room will determine the breakthrough someone else receives that they haven't never received before. This is why, for example, like worship pastor, you're going to love me, future worship pastor. Okay, this is why we worship all in. Because we're not worshiping just for us, but we're worshiping for the person next to us. This is why we come to church every Sunday. Not because Pastor Shana wants you to come every Sunday and not because you're supposed to, but because you might have something on your life that the visitor needs. That when we collectively come together and pursue Jesus together wholeheartedly, that God moves in a very real way. And it's a real powerful thing. And so I want to jump into this story and then we're going to pray. I'm going to read this passage to you. I got some points. And we're just going to dive in, and we're just going to see what God has, okay? And so turn to your Bible, to the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 21 through 34. It's going to be on the screen if you need it as well. If you brought your Bibles, you get extra credit in heaven today. Come on, let's be honest. Because most of us have it on our phone, but that's okay. Jesus still loves you. And, okay. All right. Book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 21 through 34. Love this story. It says this. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him. And he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Excuse me. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." He went with him, this being Jesus, he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Go to the next slide for me. And who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better but rather grew worse. And she had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For he said, if I touch even his garment, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about into the crowd and said, who touched my garments? Go to the last slide. Thank you. And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear, trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Come on, family, let's pray. Jesus, I know you're already moving. You already started. And so, God, let us have our mind cleared. Let our hearts and ears open to what the Spirit of God is saying this morning. I thank you, Jesus, for the privilege to speak your word. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, God, I pray for this house that you would continue to move and speak. Let us dive in to what you're saying to us this morning. We love you. And in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. And so this story is a very, very popular story. Most of you guys read this story, right? And so amazing, amazing story. Probably the thing that I love most about this story, if you guys have never really studied it, and we're going to do some points from this story, and I believe it's going to really ignite something in us. But the first thing is this, is that you have to understand that the context of the story wasn't supposed to happen. This story is so particular in Scripture because this story was never supposed to take place when you read the timeline and the trajectory of what was happening. Let me explain. Jesus is on his way to a city. He's about to do whatever Jesus does, walk on water. You know, whatever Jesus does, it's Jesus, right? Jesus is like the coolest person on the planet. He's the man. Jesus is on his way to do what God does. And the Bible says that a man came to him named Jairus. And I don't know about you, but if I, because I have a kid, and maybe you have kids or you have a niece or nephew or cousin or brother or whatever, but just this week, it was the craziest week, let me tell you. My son, he has asthma, and so he got a really bad cold, and my wife got her wisdom teeth pulled out. So it was the week from hell. Help me, Jesus. I can't believe I'm still here. It was crazy. Didn't sleep really at all. And I just know that if my wife and my son are sick to the point of death, which is not the case this week, but to the point of death, I will do whatever is necessary to get a hold of what can fix them. And so Jairus grabs Jesus. Jairus, who the Bible says is like a modern-day pastor, is a synagogue leader, is someone who's a religious leader of the time. And he gets a hold of Jesus. And that's really where the story should end. The story should end that Jairus gets a hold of Jesus. Jesus says, yes, I'll heal your daughter. Jesus is supposed to go to the daughter, and the daughter's supposed to get healed. And it's a great, fantastic story, and we'll post it on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Come on. Good story. Amazing. Miracle. What is peculiar about the story, though, is that there's a woman that is not supposed to be part of the story. Oh, this lights something in me. Because for so many years, people told me that I wasn't supposed to be part of the story. See, you got to understand, I just a little bit. I grew up, dad was a drug addict, mom was a drug addict, grew up in East LA. Mom had me at 14 years old, got pregnant with me 14, had me at 15. My dad was 16 years old. Statistic state that if you grow up in Los Angeles County, if you're a Hispanic man without a father, you are 82% likely to go to prison. Statistics say if it's without a father and a mother, it's 94%. This was around 2005. I grew up without my mom and my dad, got adopted, and I felt like the world hated me. I felt like no one loved me. I felt like no one cared. The brokenness in my life was so real. That's why I don't take this lightly when I step on a stage, no matter how big or small, because only Jesus can do this right now. And I find it fascinating that Jesus inspires the gospel writers to include a woman who should have not been included in a story, who most people would have said that she doesn't belong here, that she's not a part of this, that they would throw her out. But Jesus uses this story, I believe, to inspire you and I to say, you know what? It doesn't matter what's happened in your past, and it doesn't matter what's going on in your present, that if you can just get to him, everything changes. In the story, it's an interruption. And I don't know about you, but I don't like interruptions. I find it very rude when people interrupt me. Probably because I can't fight them. Come on, look at me. I ain't gonna fight nobody. Y'all said he's from East LA? Yeah, right. Look at my shoes. Come on now. My wife, I guess I'm notorious for interrupting people, and my wife gets so mad at me. She puts me on blast in front of everyone. She'll be like, rude. That's how you know you found a good one. Come on now. I don't like interruptions. I remember when I was younger, and I used to love, like, Saturday morning cartoons, right? And I don't know if anybody grew up on Saturday morning cartoons. Now, if you're, like, under the age of 17, you watch YouTube. You have no idea what I'm talking about. But that's okay. And so Saturday morning cartoons, and then they would always do the random emergency national tests in the morning. And it's just 10 minutes of, like, meh, 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 right? Come on, you know what I'm talking about? And you're just like, come on, it's, like, the best part, yo. Someone's about to die. No one likes being interrupted. The cool thing is God moves in interruption. What I have found is that most of the time, God does not move how we plan, but God moves in interruption. And that's why most of the time, the reason why you, when you experience God, is not even when you're supposed to experience him, and when you think you're going to experience him, you don't. Because God likes to keep you so on edge, so that way he reminds you that you're not Jesus. That your miracles cannot be planned. That your breakthrough is not a systematic process of things to do, but by grace and grace alone, you're connected with him. And so in this story, Jesus is on his way to heal someone, and through the process of him being busy, come on, you got to catch this. In the process of God being busy, God shows up in a powerful way. What I think is most powerful about the story is this. Can you go to my first point? And I believe it's just really, oh, so good. That there are times when the action of God causes a response from man. But then there are times when the action of man causes a response from God. If you can let that sink in for a minute. Because you and I have sometimes developed a faith and a walk where we are waiting for Jesus to do something, and we are waiting for Jesus. And don't get me wrong, there are times when God moves, right? And we respond. There's times where he shows up and we respond. That's how you got saved. You didn't even know it was coming and it came. When you first met Jesus, maybe you haven't met Jesus. That's okay. We'll introduce you to him later today. But when you first met Jesus, you didn't know it was coming and it came. You might have even grown up in church, but I'm talking about when you met Jesus. But then what the Bible clearly says in this story, which is so crazy to me, is that a human, you and I, that is broken, hurting, dirty, whatever society would call it, can actually do something that gets God's attention. This is the difference between our religion and every other religion. This is the difference between us and Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam, is that God actually is in relationships with humans in the form of Christianity in this concept. And you have to understand that what you do can absolutely provoke God to move on the earth. This woman had no rights, not even like a place, but a right, a legal right, a historical right, a cultural right. Listen, she was bleeding. That means she was considered dirty culturally. She was probably considered a sinner. That's how society treated her. The Bible says that in Leviticus, that a woman that is in that capacity with that disease is not even allowed to be touched. So no man, woman, child has probably touched her in 12 years. No physical contact. To top it out, holy men, Jesus was a holy man. Anybody who was a rabbi or holy man is not even allowed to communicate or talk to women. All the cards were stacked against her. Everything on the surface level, all the rules say you can't do it. And the woman breaks the rules, and God lets her break the rules, not because she was special, but because of her faith and her action caused a response from Jesus. And I know for a fact that every single person in this room at one point or another has been in the shoes of this woman, where you have been desperate enough to go to God for something. The Bible says even that she was so desperate, she spent all that she had, all her living, imagine all her finances on a cure that never worked. What an amazing picture of the world, right? They will spend dollars and dollars and dollars on parties and drugs and alcohol and relationships and fulfillment, and nothing stops the bleeding. Because the truth is only Jesus stops the bleeding. So you and I have a responsibility to understand this, that God is not waiting. God is not waiting to do something. Rather, he's waiting for us to do something. And if we can get the church to get this, really, I believe it's powerful. That if the church can begin to understand that when we move, God moves with us. See, Old Testament says this, Jesus, wherever your presence goes, I will follow, which I absolutely think is biblical. But New Testament says, go and I will be with you. Do you understand the difference? That you and I cannot sit around and twiddle our thumbs until the perfect angel shows up with our miracle. You and I can't wait until God brings revival to San Jose. You and I can't wait until your family gets saved. The Bible in Psalms, right, it says those who wait upon the Lord, right? Those who wait. I think we think of waiting as like we're kicking back and we're like, whenever you want, Jesus, I'm waiting. I'm not sinning, right? The Bible says that word waiting in Hebrew actually means to lean forward. It's in the same context as anticipation. It's like I've experienced this with my son. My son, he knows I'm about to come home. He's waiting at the door for Dada. Some of us in this room knows what it's like to be desperate. What I would ask you is this: how long has it been, family, since you've been desperate? When's the last time you went after Jesus with everything and not just something? I'm not talking about religious activity. I'm talking about your pursuit after God. This is only between you and him. When is the last time we were so in love with God, nothing else mattered anymore? When is the last time that we said, Jesus, I'm going to go all in with you? My passion, I'm not going to let it die. I'm not going to just wait for you to do things in my life. Because when you were first saved, when you first met Jesus, nothing else mattered except for him. Right? When you came back from that camp or that conference or that service or whatever God did, you would just be in worship and you would weep. You would fast and you liked it. Come on. And then you'd break it by 12, but that's okay. You didn't mind serving, because that's what we did. You had no problem talking to people about Jesus, because you were just so in love. You know when you fall in love with someone, especially when you were a young person, right? You write it on your notebook, and you know there's a fine line between love and stalker, let's just be honest. And you just happen to tell everyone, when's the last time it was like that? And where your actions, your pursuit, your passion was causing God to move and you were experiencing God. What I would submit to you is that God hasn't stopped moving. It's that we've stopped moving. Because the only reason the woman got healed is because of her pursuit after God. Because she wasn't supposed to be part of the story, but she inserts herself in the story. She interrupts the story so that way Jesus could heal her, because she knew that's all I got to do is I got to get a hold of him. I love this quote by Winky Pratney. He's an amazing revival author. He says this. He says, revival, or let's just probably change the word revival, but a move of God, an experience, an encounter, a something real that happens with you and Jesus begins to happen when the hunger of man meets the sovereignty of God. And so when our desperation meets God's plan, it's like a lightning rod. And so oftentimes, that is the battle. Can I connect with God's plan, and can I be hungry and in position to experience what God has for me? And Jesus is not looking for perfection, but he's looking for obedience. And this is such a true thing for you and I. That can we go after God with everything? Can we go after Jesus with everything? And can I tell you, if you go to the next one, that there is an absolute difference between grabbing a hold of Jesus and just being around Jesus. So in the story, there's a crowd. A lot of people, probably a few hundred. That's a crowd. Imagine your favorite celebrity just walks down the mall across the street, right? Imagine whoever it is, maybe Steph Curry, right? Everyone would probably get out of church and go take pictures with Steph Curry. Let's just be honest. You know, you're trying to sneak a selfie or whatever. The Bible says that everyone was around him, but only one person drew power from him. And can I be honest? I am really convicted about this in my own life. Because I do not want to just be around Jesus and not experience who he is. You know what the Bible even says? The Bible says that a disciple, Peter, that's scary. It says that Peter looked at Jesus and said, Lord, you're crazy. There's so many people grabbing you. What do you mean someone touched you? That is so scary, because that is such a picture of you and I. We call ourselves disciples, yet we don't understand what God's doing in the room. We can't let that happen. And to be honest, I've been more often Peter than not. I don't want to get too complacent where I'm cool with hanging out with Jesus and not experiencing the reality of Jesus in my life. It is not enough, family. Listen to me. It is not enough, family, to just be around him. I love what a guy named Leonard Ravenhill says. He says, when you see a fire from afar, like a campfire or a bonfire, everything around it looks like it's on fire. And the only way you're able to tell the difference of what's on fire or not is as you get closer. And then you can tell who the people are around the fire and the thing that is actually on fire. And family, that's exactly what the world is doing. They look at us and they might see us on fire. And I want to make sure as the world gets closer to me that I'm not just around something that's lit, but I am actually lit in my heart for Jesus. This is the danger that you and I can be in. That familiarity can absolutely be the coffin of our spiritual walk. That complacency can kill us on the very inside. That we are okay with just being okay. And can I tell you, you're not. You know what even is crazier? I can imagine that there were so many people around Jesus that were broken and hurting, but yet only one person actually got healed. I don't want to be that person that's around Jesus hurting, hoping that he touches me and gives me a shot. This is not luck. Jesus is not Vegas. He is not a roulette table that you throw some money on hoping that he'll do it. Jesus is God of the universe, and he deserves our whole life, 100%, all in. And what I really want to emphasize is not necessarily that the woman was broken and hurting, although that is important, but does our pursuit to him look like this? Are we willing to push past the crowd, right? Are we willing to get hit at and maybe spit at and looked at? Are we willing to let everything go? Are we willing to go all in? Are we willing to completely connect with God? Are we willing to grab him and say, I'm not going to let you go until you do something? And if I could be honest, there has been moments, a lot of moments in my life where that is not the reality.
I tell people this. The biggest thing I have to fight as a pastor is playing church. It's not even sin, really. Not saying I'm perfect. I'm just not that. But the biggest thing I have to be careful of is I do spiritual things without Jesus. How many of us have been in that place where we do spiritual things, but God's not even in the room? He's not even on my mind. I don't even spend time with him. God is not interested in a business relationship. He wants to know you. You're a son, you're a daughter. And does my pursuit have the same tenacity and audacity and tenaciousness as this woman that grabbed Jesus? Does it? And if it doesn't, we have time to make it up. If it doesn't, we can say, Jesus, I'm going to go all in. Just a few more things. And if I can have worship pastor, can you come up? Can you help me real quick? That would be awesome. Play something good sounding and romantic. It's all good. We'll just do keyboard, actually. I don't want to do full band. Is that okay, Pastor Shayna? Thank you. Because I think sometimes the songs can get us emotional, but Jesus wants to do something more than emotional today. I do. I believe it. I look at this woman's life, and I ask myself, is that my life? It's real easy. It's not a complex message, but I think it's very profound. We could take stories and think they're cute in the Bible, but there's a profoundness to them. And can I look at this woman's life? And because, to be honest, I can look at that woman's life, and I can identify seasons where, yes, that was me. Totally. Not with an arrogance, but with confidence. Sold out. Desperate. Hungry. I don't care what anybody thought. I don't care what anybody did. I don't care what anybody said. I remember fasting so much when I was a teenager, I had to go to the doctor. Okay? Like, it was bad. I remember going all in. I remember praying for hours and hours on end. Not that that's important. Or just choosing a season where it was maybe difficult, like my life was a living hell, but I chose Jesus and nothing else. I remember those seasons. I remember the season where my mom and dad got divorced. And instead of doing what every other young adult would do, I chose him. I remember choosing him when there was times where we thought we were going to lose our little guy when my wife was pregnant. And it was really scary. But instead of letting the fear control my life, I said, no, I'm going to grab a hold of you. And I'm not letting you go. And I don't know if you're going to heal him, but I know you're going to get me through this. What I want to challenge us is that normal? Or are those just exceptions? Because if they're exceptions, it would explain the disconnect. If they only happen every now and then, it would explain the disconnect. And the problem with the story is it's all on the individual and it's not on God. And that's where it hurts. It doesn't feel good. There's messages that feel good and there's messages that don't. And this is like what it is today. Because when I really look at my relationship with God, no matter how much I lift my hands on Sunday, no matter how much spiritual talk I talk on social media, does my heart reflect the heart of a desperate person who needs Jesus? Only I can answer that. Am I living a faith that's through my parents, or am I living a faith that's me and God? Am I living a faith through a past experience, or am I consistently being devoted to Jesus? Am I deciding every day to just try to take a step forward, or I'm okay with just staying where I'm at? And only you and I can ask those. I believe the answer is that God would take this house and you as an individual one step closer. See, I don't think maybe today you're going to grab a hold of Jesus. Although I think for some of you, you're going to need to. I think some of you are in a place where I need to push past the crowd. And I need to push past the stuff. And I need to get him. But some of you are like, Chris, I don't even know what it is to take a step forward. Can I tell you? It's easy. You just do it. Don't overcomplicate it. So there's some people in the room that I really feel. This is it. this is provoking something in you that would call you to the greatest thing that you can ever do, and that's to follow Jesus. The greatest thing you can ever do is follow Jesus. Not be a good husband, not be a good wife, not be a professional, not be a businessman, not be rich, not be a good dad or mom. The greatest thing you can do is be a follower of Jesus, wholeheartedly, abandonedly. That's the greatest thing you can do. And allowing your life to look like that, to say, man, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go all in. I've gone all in before, but I'm going all in again. I am realigning myself, and I am positioning myself, and I am going to go for it. And it's really an internal thing. It's not like this is like a good altar call or whatever, but it's an internal thing. It's like, Jesus, whatever is on the inside that's in the way, God, I'm going to get it out of the way. Whatever spiritual walls you have on the inside, I'm going to get rid of them. Whatever emotional walls I have on the inside, I'm going to get rid of them. Whatever hurt I had from that church person or that pastor or that leader or that individual or that dad I never forgave or that mom I ever forgave, whatever, I'm going to let it go. I am not going to let the bleeding continue because of internal problems in my heart. Jesus, I'm going to choose you. I'm going to choose you. And the cool thing about it is, I believe this, that Jesus stops earth, heaven, and hell just because of one person. Because the Bible says that the woman, see, and what's even cool about the woman is the culturally, people weren't supposed to touch her, like I told you. So I think we've seen plays or we imagine in our mind that the woman is actually like trying to get to Jesus and push through the crowd and like, oh, I got to get there, and I'm going to hit and kick my way. I'm going to crawl my way, and I'm just going to barely grab him. But actually, I think this woman had a reputation, and I think people knew her. And I think immediately when people seen her, they actually stepped away because they didn't want to touch her, which tells me that the thing that actually caused you the most pain and hurt in your life is the thing that gives you access to him. See, the thing that people would say is the reason you can't get a hold of Jesus is actually the thing that gets you closer, because they didn't understand that they thought they were stepping away because of religiosity, but they didn't understand that they were being used by God to make a way for the woman to get close to him. I can imagine as the woman's getting closer that there's stares and there's disgust and there's a face and what are you doing? You can't even be with him. He's not wanting anything to do with him. And the Bible says that he stopped everything, because Jesus is not interested in corporate business worship, but he's interested in the individualization of the human heart. He is your favorite all the time, and you're his favorite all the time, and he knows when you grab him. Family, he knows when you grab him. He knows what it's really like, not just to be around him, but to grab him. And the Bible says that he stopped everything that was happening. And he said this, who touched me? What is he saying? He's saying it doesn't matter what's happening. It doesn't matter who's around me. It doesn't matter what's taking place. There is something happening with me and a person. And I'm going to stop what everybody's doing. So that way that person knows that I'm real and I'm alive and I'm doing something in their life. And all of heaven's eyes were on Jesus. And all of hell's eyes were on Jesus. And all of earth's eyes were on Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He stops. He turns around. Whoo! Because you thought he was busy, but he's not busy. And my last point is this. Because I got to share it. I just feel like I got to share it. Because some of you in this room are like, okay, Pastor Chris, I get it. I need to pursue Jesus. I get it. But I can't. Right, that's the usual. I can't. Because of this and this and this and this. You have every excuse. You have everything. You have every whatever. Can I tell you this? And if you go to my last slide, which is that? Is that God isn't scared of 30 things touching him. This is one of the greatest insights of the gospel. Your sin. God is not scared of your sin. Your sin is scared of God. Because what you need to understand, that whatever excuse you have that you think can't get you close to Jesus, The only reason God let the woman get close to him is because God let the woman get close to him. It's not that complicated. God allows and disallows. And so what you have to understand is that maybe the society wouldn't allow the woman to get close to Jesus, but God said, go ahead, touch me. Go ahead, touch me. And I can imagine people are like, what the heck? Why would you let this woman touch you? Why would you let the disgustingness be on your life? Why would you let the grossness, the shame, the embarrassment, the guilt, whatever it is? And Jesus is like, because you don't understand that what's on me is greater than what's in her. You don't understand who I am, because if you understood who I am, you'd understand that there is nothing that is more powerful than me. You don't understand that it doesn't matter what's going on in her life, that all she needs to do is grab me, and what is on me is greater than what's on her. And so if you're in the room today and you're saying, Pastor Chris, I can't do it. I can't pursue Jesus. You don't know what I did as a teenager. You don't know what I did in that marriage. You don't know what I did at the party last week. You don't know what I did in my room by myself. You don't know what I watch on the computer by myself. You don't know the things I say and the people I've hurt. You don't know the stuff that's happened to me. Can I tell you? I don't. But it doesn't matter how bad you are. Jesus still lets dirty things touch him. And what God allows to touch him, God makes clean. I want to call the place. I want to call you. I want to call myself, man. It's not even like just for Rohi Church. It's for me. It's for my heart. I don't want to let what's happened before dictate my present and future relationship with Jesus. I cannot be complacent. I don't have time to get complacent. There is too much work to do for him. There is too much freedom and healing and people that matter. I do not have time to allow my inner brokenness that I've never expressed to anyone dictate my life. You don't either. Do me a favor, family. Stand to your feet. I'm going to close right now, but if you could just close your eyes for me and we could dim the lights, that would be great. And I love this, because there's some individuals in the house and the place, this room, that I think even right now, you just think that God wants nothing to do with you. Because you haven't seen him move in a while. You think he's mad at you and he hates you, and he doesn't. But what he is doing is he's waiting for you to move. See, oftentimes Christianity is like a hide-and-go-seek game. When you weren't saved, you were hiding from God, and God found you very easily. It was not difficult. Like my son, he tries to hide. He hides behind a blanket, and I can see his feet. And so when you first get saved, he finds you and he plays with you. But then after you get saved, God hides, and he's really good at hiding. He doesn't make it impossible, but he's good. And it's because God is interested in the pursuit of your heart, not the accomplishment of finding him. And I think there's some individuals who just feel like, man, I haven't felt God in a while. I haven't experienced God in a while. I haven't connected with God in a while. I'm so distant. I'm so far away. Can I tell you? No. He's waiting for you to grab him. He's waiting for you to go after him. He is wanting to see that thing that he already put on the inside of you to grab a hold of him. And then I think there's some in the room that just feel like you're too dirty. You can identify with this woman. I want to tell you that you're not. And if you are, if you really believe that you're that dirty, it doesn't even matter. Because Jesus is the God that makes us clean. It doesn't matter what filth people have spoken over your life. It doesn't matter what filth you've done. It doesn't matter what filth that has happened. Nothing is too dirty for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God that's the Prince of Peace, the Healer, the Savior. The one that rules and reigns, the omnipotent, the omnipresent, the one that tells the sand and the sea where to stop and the mountains how high to go. And if he can create earth and heaven, what makes you think he's not willing to touch you and for you to touch him? And so if you're in this room, I have two questions. The first question is this. If you're in here and you're saying, you know what? I want to touch Jesus. I want to grab a hold of God. I want God to heal me and cleanse me. I want God to give me freedom and breakthrough. I want God to do something in my life. I want to invite you right now to the front, right now. Come on, if that's you. If that's you, I want to just invite you to this altar. I want to invite you to this altar. And Pastor Shana says, y'all do altar calls, so this isn't foreign. Come on. Just want to invite you to the front. That's awesome. You can stand, kneel, whatever. There's just something about stepping out that's valuable, you know? And the second question I have for you in this room is this. Is I just don't want to be around Jesus. But I want to grab him. I want God to provoke a pursuit in me again. Some of y'all need to come and say sorry for some complacency and religiosity and apathy, and that's okay because the grace and mercy of God is in the room. If that's you, man, if any of those things, I want you to come on up. I want to pray for you. Whatever it is, come on up. I want to pray for you. Maybe you're in this room and you just really need a breakthrough too. I feel like that's very significant for a family member, for a friend. And I would say that tonight would be the day, would be the starting point or the launching pad of a brand new pursuit after God. That you're like, man, I really need Jesus right now. Can I tell you, I believe he's in the room. I do. And it might not happen in this immediate moment. Maybe it will. But I know that it would start. That coming up is getting your foot to the crowd and saying, God, I'm going to go after you. Come on, make some room. Scoot up a little bit. Scoot up a little more. Make some room. If you're on your knees, that's fine. This is awesome. So do me a favor. We're going to close right now, but I just want to pray for you. I want to specifically pray for some people. I want to lay hands. But more than even praying for people, I really feel that there's some heart surgery that's taking place with you and God. So if you're in the room and if you need to weep, you need to cry, you need to shake, you need to do whatever, that don't matter. Like, do whatever you need to do, like the woman did, to get a hold of Jesus. However you need to worship, however you need to pray, however you need to lift your hands, it's a starting point. It's a statement and a staple saying that, God, I am taking this moment to take this thing serious. I'm taking this moment to say I'm going to pursue you. So God, do what you want to do within me. God, do what you want to do in my life. God, would do what you want to do in my heart. Jesus, get rid of everything you need to get rid of. Jesus, I'm going after you, whether they like it or not. I'm going after you, no matter what my boss thinks or my family thinks or my friends think. Jesus, I'm going after you wholeheartedly. I'm leaving that stuff behind. I'm going next step after next step pursuing you. So with everybody in the room with your hands up, do me a favor, lift your hands up. I want to pray for you. Jesus, right now, we say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, move and weave in the hearts and minds of women and sons and daughters. We say right now, Jesus, whatever you need to do, do it. I have no idea what you need to do. But Jesus, you have every idea of what you need to do. And so, Father, I pray for a vulnerability. I pray for an authenticity. I pray for a passion. I pray that, God, you would begin to, like it says in your word in Revelation 1, that you're the Jesus that has swords coming out of his mouth. That, God, those swords would provoke the hearts and minds of people. That, God, you would cut deep in areas that you've never cut deep. Right now in Jesus' name.